You're listening to the Resurgent ATL Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So, I didn't let him do an introduction. But you know, I haven't spoken since Mother's Day. Not because of lack of opportunity, because Chris has been harassing me to share. So, here I am, being obedient, right? Honestly, as the year was coming to an end, 2023, I really did feel like God was nudging me to pull out an old message that I had written several years ago called God Redeems It All. And I really questioned him, like, you know, why? I've already shared that message. There's some people in here who've probably already heard that message. And, you know, he talked to me very clearly. And he said, Terry, he said, because the first time around, I was teaching you some things about redemption. And he goes, but now you need to be reminded about some things regarding my redemption. And so I believe if you're here and you maybe have heard it before, maybe you're here because you too need to be reminded about some things regarding God's redemption. Because he does redeem it all. So I'm going to just kind of jump right in and start with a scripture verse found in Psalm. This is Psalm 11. Verse 9, and it just simply states, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And then I also want to read to you from Ephesians 1. This is verses 3 through 7. And if you will allow me, I want to read from the Passion Translation. So this one says, let's see, I got to pull it up a little bit. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it is always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And I'll pause right here because I want to ask you, how many of you truly believe that Father God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? Because it says right here, for the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus has, or his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And then it goes on to say, this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined with Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. Now, the reason I wanted to read this, and it was kind of long, but I wanted to read this in the Passion Translation, really is for that phrase right there. We have been given the treasures of redemption. And, you know, when I think of a treasure, I think of a hidden treasure. You know, really, I think of a buried treasure. You know that when it's unearthed, when it's discovered and you open it up, on the inside there's rubies and pearls and diamonds, gold, silver, crowns, right? All of this wealth. And who doesn't love to go on just a fun treasure hunt? You know, where the whatever is hidden, it's intended to be found. And so when I read this about the treasures of redemption, I picture our redemption as a treasure that is intended to be found. And moreover, I picture that there are treasures within our redemption that are there in order to be found. Hopefully that makes sense. I'm going to explain a little bit more. So back in 2019, that's when I really started writing this message on redemption. And it really started with a conversation that I was having with God. And I felt like God was saying, he said to me, Terry, I'm redeeming excellence in your life. And I knew what he meant He really just used that. It had to do with, you know, it's hard to have excellence when you're always portable and everything. But he was just getting my attention. And so then he began to tell me, you know, Terry, also, more than that, over this next year, which would be the year 2020, I'm going to be redeeming some things in your life. And I want you to be intentional about recognizing those as my redemption. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times something really great in our life happens, and we're so quick to say, oh, God is so good. And he is. And I want to honor that. But sometimes it's more than that. It's God actually redeeming something lost in our life. So I began to do that. I began to take notes on everything he was showing me. Every time I saw something in my life that he was redeeming, I'd write it in my journal. And he just started teaching me all these things. I feel like every time I turned around, he was showing me another picture of what redemption looks like. And he really, you know, he reminded me that that golden thread throughout the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, is redemption. You know, it's just the blood of Jesus, how he redeemed us. But that his redemptive nature is that there's no person too far gone, no, not too offensive, no deed that's too evil that would disqualify him from the gift of redemption. I want to read Colossians. This is 1 verses 13 and 14. It says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So, you know, the overarching message of the New Testament is that he forgives you, he restores you, and he redeems you. And forgiveness restores the standard so he can put you at a higher place than you fell from, meaning God can take your broken life and he can come in such a way and bless it that when people look at you, they want to know God. Isn't that good? Look at Isaiah 61, this is verse 3. It says, "Provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And I just love looking at this exchange. You know, it says he gives us a crown of beauty for our ashes, oil of gladness for our mourning, a garment of praise for our despair, but that we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Meaning, people are going to look at our lives and they are going to see the splendor of God. They are going to want to know God. And you know, we carry all the solutions to every world problem on the inside of us. Because Jesus is the answer to all the problems. And he is in us and we are in him. But if you have an answer that is not redemptive, then you don't have God's answer. And if you have a scripture verse that you're using and it is not redeeming the person, it's not redeeming the situation, then you're using it wrong. Kind of got quiet. Y'all can cheer me on every now and then, so. I got really quiet there. I was like, oh, did I say something wrong? But anyway, I want to move on. So this journey that God was taking me on, like I said, back in like 2019, the beginning of 2020, he was just reminding me how every story in the Word of God is a story of redemption. Think about Mephibosheth. You know, he was King Saul's grandson. And then when David is crowned king, he gets off the throne and pursues and finds out about Mephibosheth, and he restores his inheritance and redeems his life in the palace. Ruth, she's widowed, she's childless, and God sends her Boaz. Not only does Boaz provide for her financially, but he gives her an heir, which restores her lost inheritance. And she's redeemed to her place of blessing. Think about Joseph's life. You know, God gives him this dream for his life. And he kind of has a skewed interpretation of that dream. Honestly, a little bit of an entitled view of his dream. But, you know, God redeems Joseph's dream at the, you know, at the end of the story, I'll say at the end of this life, but Joseph, he redeems Joseph's dream over his life, but more importantly, he redeems his life from the pit. You know, we know the story about the pit, but really that's just a picture, because God restores your life and redeems your life from the pit of despair, the pit of shame, guilt, anxiety, maybe even limited capacity, disappointment. And then Jacob, let's consider him for a minute. He married two different women. He had two different mistresses. He ends up having 12 kids. He only wanted three of those. And yet God says, I can use that. He says, I can redeem that. And that is not God saying, okay, it's okay, live your life the way you want to. No, that's where God was just saying, hey, watch what I can do with your brokenness. And Jacob's past did not keep him from his future. Now, that's all of that was just right there, was just under the old covenant. Think about the new covenant. How much better, more powerful, more grace-filled. Under the new covenant is where we receive the treasures of our redemption, our inheritance, where now we get to be led by the Spirit. We get to live a life that's limitless. We can lean into our inheritance, where we can live a life of peace with healing and fulfillment, because he paid the price for the treasures, for that fullness. Let's think about Saul for a minute. This is before he became Paul. Let me take a drink. Anyway, you know, he murders all the Christians, right? But then he has this conversion experience. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he is empowered to share the good news. And then in Acts 9, it says that everybody who heard it were astonished. And they're asking, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Israel among those who call on his name? And see, that was God taking his brokenness, blessing his life in such a way that others wanted to know God. Paul's story exemplifies God's miraculous nature and ability to redeem. And I love it that Paul's past did not keep him from his future. See, he ended up being one of the most significant leaders in the Christian church. He started a dozen churches, wrote 13 books, and he's still one of the most influential people in history. But you know, in the same way that you're not disqualified from being a believer, you're not disqualified from making history. That's a treasure of your redemption. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, redemption is God's very favorite story to tell. How many of you have ever grieved a dream? One person. Come on, how many of you have ever grieved a dream? You know, one of our greatest disappointments in our life had to do with the unfulfillment of a dream. And, you know, in the pursuit of this kind of life dream that we had for ourselves, we made some sacrifices. It felt like every decision we made was kind of based on the pursuing of that dream. Our kids were vested. You know, we were all in. We were going for it. And all along the way, we would experience hope and disappointment. Hope, you know what I mean? Disappointment. But, you know, we were always able to get our hopes up. We were always able to keep our hopes up. And just when it looked like we were going to experience the fulfillment of that dream because of the decisions of man, instead, we experienced one of our greatest disappointments. And I'll tell you, it felt like that dream just came to a halt. And, of course, we experienced that fear, okay, it's never going to happen. And in our grief, what do? We started losing hope. We started believing the lie. A lot of you have heard this lie in your own head, the one that says, yeah, see, don't get your hopes up. How many have told yourself that? Yeah, don't get your hopes up because you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Or we listen to the lie, you know, God doesn't really care about my dreams. It's never going to happen for me. Well, fast forward, we found ourselves living in a large portion of that dream fulfilled and, you know, feeling hopeful again and no longer feeling the pain of that loss. And I was reflecting on it. I was like, you know, God, I see how you kind of use that situation for my good. We're feeling fulfilled and we're feeling like we kind of are in the fulfillment of a part of that dream. But it doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. And he said to me very clearly, he said, Terry, it's because I've rescued you from your version of the dream, and now I am redeeming the dream. I mean, how many of you would love to allow the Holy Spirit, the Father, Jesus, to come into your life, redeem your version of the dream of your life, and redeem the dream? Well, as I was writing some notes that year and really studying redemption, I did write down the definition of redemption. It just said that it was the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil, vindication, absolution. But it said it was also the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Retrieval, recovery, reclamation, repossession, recoupment, return, and rescue. So again, if you go back to Colossians 1, 13 and 14, where it says, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. See, that's now us being led by the Holy Spirit, having a life without limits, and leaning into our full inheritance. You know, at this time now, Chris and I are living in this part of our dream fulfilled, but it didn't just like, it wasn't just that simple. It wasn't like that was the end and like, oh, now we're living the dream. You know, it wasn't like dot, 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 and they lived happily ever after. You know, no. Because just as we started getting our hopes up and advancing to pursuing that dream again, wouldn't you know it, we experienced disappointment yet again. Anybody else? Okay. Due to the decisions of man. But this time, I'm going to tell you, it felt like such a gut punch. I wasn't sure we'd recover. And I didn't feel like I just needed to be redeemed from my version of the dream this time around. I felt like I just needed to be rescued. Anybody testify? I mean, have you ever had a year where you look back over that year and it was like looking at a battlefield when the battle's over? And just dead bodies laying everywhere? You know, like everything you own is plundered, pilfered, what's the word? Pillaged. I had pilfer up here. You know what I mean? Because you've experienced it. I mean, where you look at your crops and they're like laying over. You know, they're dried up. And it's like a wrecking ball has just come through and destroyed everything. Or maybe your year looks something like George from It's a Wonderful Life. You know, where you've lived this good life, you're like, I've been nice to people, I feel like I've done all the right things, and then because of a decision that's completely out of your control, he suddenly needed to be rescued. Let's look at Psalm 32:7. This says, Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. I love that. So last fall, you know, coming out of that year, God was telling me, Terry, pull out that message of redemption because you need to hear it. See, God had taken me through all of this time of teaching me about redemption, about being intentional, about recognizing when something was being redeemed in my life. He knew I was going to experience disappointment again, probably on a more deeper level. And he was preparing me for that. And, you know, that's just God coming in to a broken story so that he can move it forward to get me to a better version of the story. And see, just like our son wrote the song about God redeems it all. There's that line in there. It says, if the story isn't good, the story is not over. Paula White says, champions have the courage to keep turning the page because they know a better chapter lies ahead. And I have to tell you, after that year, I was not feeling much like a champion. But I was obedient, and I opened my journal and all of my redemption notes that I had kept back in 2019 / a little bit into 2020. And I began to read. And the first thing I had written at the top of the page says, I need a hope for my future. Terry Oliver. And underneath that I wrote, I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you a future that you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. If you didn't recognize that, that's Jeremiah 29:11, the Passion again. But then down at the bottom, I wrote really big, I believe God redeems it all. So not to be overdramatic, but I felt like as I was reading that, I was able to begin to pick myself up, wipe myself off, strengthen myself in the Lord, right? And look at all this plunder. And I started declaring, I believe God will redeem it all. Because, see, now I had the faith, because I had the testimony. I knew that he not only can, but will do it again. And so now as I'm studying, I'm meditating, I'm believing God, I began to be surrounded by his songs of gladness, and his joyous rescue began releasing my breakthrough. Bill Johnson has a story about he was literally on his deathbed. He had a very serious intestinal issue, and the prognosis was very grim. He had been in the hospital for a very long time, but he sent his wife home to get his journals. He would write in a particular journal when people would give him a prophetic word over his life. And she brought that up to the hospital, and he began reading those prophetic words over his life. He said, because I needed to know that I had a future. He said, I needed to believe that I was going to live through this. And see, as I look back at these disappointments over the last year, I needed to know I was going to live through this. And whatever your story is, we know that all things work together for the good in the end. So if it's not good, it's not the end. Right? Say it again. If it's not good, it's not the end. Hallelujah, right? Sean Bowles said, even when man makes a choice that limits God's restorative power, he will always redeem the situation so that your fullness is not limited to another man's decisions. So that means, you know, if someone divorces you, God will create a new plan A. He does not have a plan B for your life. He will create a new plan A. And if someone, if you lose a court case, God will bring about a new way to get you justice. Thank you for that. So, you know, he's not limited to man's will. See, my dream fulfilled did not, being fulfilled did not depend or tie into the obedience of other people. So as a matter of fact, God is infinitely creative and has thousands of solutions for any one problem. That's good. So I'm asking you today, what do you need redeemed in your life? I feel like everyone in here needs something redeemed in their life. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's lost time. Maybe your finances. And maybe you need to start a journal and start looking back over your life and writing down everything you can think of that God has ever redeemed for you. And then maybe you need to ask God to redeem some things for you. And then start writing them down when it happens, because it'll happen. And here's an example of that, because when God asked me that, so this was the turn of coming into 2020. I started writing the things down, not knowing what that year was going to bring, right? We all know that was a crazy year. And early, like in January, I'm writing some things down, and God's talking to me again, and he says, Terry, he says, there's something you've lost that you haven't asked me to redeem. I said, I know. He said, why hadn't you asked me to redeem it? And I said, because I don't think you can do it. He said, well, why don't you ask me? Well, I knew what it was. I had lost a year of my retirement because I taught in a Christian school, and it doesn't tie over into your public school, whatever. And so I just didn't think that it could be done. And so he asked me, he says, why don't you ask me to redeem it? And I said, I'm embarrassed to say, but my attitude was like, okay, show me what you got. Okay. So 3 months later, the entire country is shut down. I get to sit home for 6 months and not work. I get my full paycheck, all of my benefits. Y'all aren't really laughing. It was kind of supposed to be funny because I know that God did not shut down the country to redeem my year of retirement. But I do feel like God kind of used it as a conversation with me because I like to think he has a sense of humor. And I think he was like, aren't I big enough? Can I do it? It's just a little retirement. It's just a year. And of course, I know that's not how he did it, because actually a couple years later, he did redeem that year for me. And I won't go into that story. But you know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, this says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Oh, I need his energy. I love that. Let's just read it again. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Do you trust him? You know, Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord and let the redeemed tell their story. So that's kind of what I want to do this morning. I'm going to share my story of not just how God redeemed my life. I really want to talk to you about some of the treasures he gave me within that redemption. And some things that I wrote down that year of 2020. Because that year, God redeemed a date on my timeline. He redeemed legacy in our life. He redeemed a family name, Honey. He redeemed my lost retirement. He redeemed time that I felt like I had lost with my younger son. A piece of jewelry I had lost. A trip that I had to turn down. So there are many, many stories within this journal. But I felt like we couldn't leave out of here this morning without me sharing at least one story of a treasure of the redemption of God redeeming something in my life. So that's what I'm going to do. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share a story. And then we are going to, and then I'm going to dismiss. Okay, so make it through the story. Y'all good? We can make it through the story. So I want to share how God redeemed our family legacy in the year of 2020. Now, I know that this is my story, so it makes perfect sense to me, okay? Now, I know you don't know all of the details of my life, so it might be a little more difficult for you to understand it on the same level that we understand it, but I still want to share it with you because I think it can encourage you that God redeems every aspect of our lives. All right, so in order to get to the meat of the story, I have to give you some facts because I don't have time to go through and share our personal testimonies. So some things you need to know for the redemption of our legacy to make sense. You need to know that Chris really pretty much has never had any family. Like, he was raised by a great-grandmother, so he's had some family, but before me and the children, he didn't really have a lot of family. He was raised by his great-grandmother. She passed away when he was 12. He was never raised by his mother, who is deceased, and he never really knew his dad. They were estranged all of his life. And another thing you need to know is that neither one of his parents, we're not sure if they got married and stayed married for a very short amount of time, or they never married. We're not really sure. But what you do need to know is that his mom nor dad never had any other children. And so I kind of say it this way, the buck stops here. Meaning, you know, if he had died before he had kids, that was the end of that family line. And another thing that you need to know is that Oliver is not his birth name. Oliver is his legal name, but it was a name that he was given as a young adult. And So really, he's the first. Like, he's the first Oliver, really. He's the first one. And he, as he begins to have children, he is beginning to have, to start our family legacy. And even added, really doesn't have this long legacy that's being passed down. So really, I feel like it starts with us, is what I'm trying to get across. Now, another thing you might need to know is that everyone that Chris ever loved died or left. And so he lived this life of loneliness. I'm kind of telling your testimony for you, but he lived a life of loneliness and abandonment, which is living a limited life, would you say? Okay. Now, as a young man, he has this incredible encounter with God. And he has this conversion experience, like he gives his life to God. He's delivered. He is spirit-filled, and he's given a new name, Oliver. All within a very small window of time. And that's God redeeming his life. Then he marries me, and we have a son. So now he's beginning to have a family, and God is restoring his legacy. And he's beginning to lean into those treasures of his inheritance. Then, 5 months later, that son, Cody, I'm going to point to Cody like he's standing right here. So Cody and I were both in a very serious car accident and nearly killed. So I feel like that was the enemy, of course, trying to steal Chris's legacy that was being restored. But what you need to know that's kind of important is that happened on March 20th. Now, we were in ICU for over a month. It was literally a year to two-year recovery. It was very serious. But 4 years later, we're fully recovered, and I'm now pregnant with our second son, and his due date is March 20th. And I get all excited. I'm like, oh, that's so cool, God, how you work. You know? I said, it would be so cool if he was born on March 20th. I've just redeemed that date, you know. And I need to tell you also that I almost had a miscarriage. I almost lost Tristan, but I didn't. And we were able to carry him full term, but he wasn't born on March 20th, the turkey. He was born just a little before, right before March 20th. And, of course, I was like, oh, that would have been so cool. You know, I know. And I was like, I think God was like, that's me telling God how to redeem things for me, right? And I was like, you could do this. You could have him born. Anyway, so here's where the redemption piece of that story begins to unfold. 26 years later, we're now into the year of 2020. That's that year that God said, Terry, I'm teaching you some things about redemption. I want you to make a record. Make a journal, and I want you to be intentional about writing down everything that God redeems in your life, not just as God is good, but that he has redeemed it. So that year, okay, Cody's wife, who is pregnant, goes into labor on March 20th. And I was like, oh, that was so cool, God, if Walter was born on March 20th, and, you know, you could redeem that date, you know. And then, of course, that little turkey, he doesn't come. He waits another day, and he's born the day after March 20th. But, again, that was me trying to tell God how to redeem it. It's like, oh, it'd be so cool just to redeem that date, you know. Anyway, but here's what I felt like God was showing with a picture, especially with that date. I felt like he gave me a picture. I'm going to try to paint that picture for you, but if you can have an imaginary line going across this way, and this is the line of my life, you know, where I have a line here for births and marriages and deaths and all of these things in my life. And then if you can picture this microphone maybe as being March 20th. On the timeline of my life. Does that give you a picture a little bit? So you can see March 20th. And God just gave me this. It's like a snapshot, but I'm going to try to explain it. That the first son that I had after the enemy tried to steal Chris's restored legacy through me and Cody, that first son that I had was born right before March 20th. And then Cody's son, right after the enemy tried to steal legacy, was born right after March 20th. And that date that had made that heavy black line on the timeline of my life, that date for literally for 10, maybe 20 years, we used to measure everything by. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know, before the accident, right? Oh, well, yeah, we did that. But after the accident, and you have those on your timeline too. You have big black lines on your timeline that you measure things by because you're like, well, before the divorce or after we lost the house. So you have those too. But what God was showing me, that date that had marked the near death of Chris's legacy was now surrounded by births and celebrations of life. And those dates were bookends to the story that he was writing. And that was him coming into my life, into my story, and writing the beginning of our family's legacy and heritage. And he was showing me, of course, all boys, if you haven't noticed, which carry out the family name, even though I wanted a daughter, I wanted a granddaughter. He was showing me that that was him coming into our story, writing our family legacy that will carry on for generation after generation after generation. My son, Tristan Cole, mighty warrior, full of peace, and Cody's son, Walter Isaac, ruler of the army who will rejoice because God redeems it all. And Ephesians 1 again says, we have been given the treasures of redemption. See, it would have been easy to give birth to Tristan and say, oh, God is so good, and just stop with that. And it'd be easy to have Walter be born and us all go, oh, God's so good, and just end it with that. But no, I was able to recognize that it was more than just the goodness of God coming into my life, but that it was actually God restoring and redeeming something that had been lost. And see, just like when we put on the helmet of salvation, we're putting on all of its benefits. So when we're not just redeemed, there are treasures to be found within redemption. Because God didn't just redeem us from our sin, but he redeems everything in our lives. So like I said a little bit earlier, last year was one of the most challenging years. Maybe for you too. But every time I was faced with something, I was able to ask God to redeem it. See, when my kids moved off, took the grandkids and took a job in another state, I was able to say, I trust you, God, and I believe you will redeem it. When we had a betrayal of a friend, we were able to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, and we just asked God to redeem it. We're facing the heartache of just lies or accusations. We were able to hand over the fear of man to God and say, I trust you to redeem it all. Because God redeems every aspect of our lives. What I want to do now is I want you to stand up, but I don't want anybody to move around or to leave the room. But if y'all would just stand up for a minute and close your eyes. I'm going to have Stephen, if you would, just go ahead and come up here. And if y'all just give me a couple more minutes without moving around too much. I want you to close your eyes. You know, most of you believe God will restore your brokenness, but you don't believe he'll redeem it. And when God restores something, he restores it as if it was never gone. But when he redeems it, he restores it as if you never needed it to be restored. I will. When God restores something, he restores it as if it was never gone. But when he redeems it, he restores it as if it never needed to be restored. You know, I know many of you in here are like me. And when I wrote that on the first page of my journal, you need a hope for your future. You know, Chris Vallotton wrote this year, he said that 2024 was not just a turning of the calendar, but it's a year of redemption. This is a year of second chances. And if you're coming out of a difficult transition or heartache, maybe you've experienced a failed business, a broken relationship, failed attempts, God is going to do a 180-degree turn in your life. And while you have your eyes closed, I just want you to picture in your mind's eye, you're looking over at the plunder, at what the enemy has stolen from you, maybe even the messes that you have made. And I want you to visualize yourself turning 180 degrees. Because now you're going completely the other way. And now visualize yourself pursuing, overtaking, and recovering all. And I want to encourage you that as you make that 180 degree turn, you know what you're doing? You are gaining a return. A profit on an investment made for you. And everything from here on out is going to be about the re. You know, re means again. Redo means to do again. You get to do it again. You get the do-over. You get to come alive and be revived. Your hopes get to be renewed. Your finances get to be replenished. And your dreams get to be reignited. He will reignite your dreams. Because this is the year of recovery. So what is your re? I want you to think about that and talk to God about it. What is your re? Maybe you need something redeveloped, redesigned, reprised, reclaimed. What about resurgent? What if we were to resurge? Relationships, realign, revival. So this is going to be a year of rebuilding, restoring, reconciling, and redeeming what may look like the ruins of your life. The Redeemer of all things is turning your ashes into beauty, and He's inviting you to step into a new level of taking Him at His word and receiving the gift of redemption in faith. So this morning, what I want to do, if I could have a couple people, my prayer team would come up here. But you know, maybe you don't even need prayer. But maybe you would like to put some action to the return this morning. What if we had a prophetic act and put action again to our return by bringing our ashes, our heartache, our broken dreams to the feet of Jesus? So as we open this up, really, I just want people, if you would like, to just come forward again as a prophetic act to the front. You can kneel, you can stand, you can hold out those ashes, those broken dreams, whatever it is that you need to have redeemed in your life, and you can hold it up to Him. And then I want you to ask Him, God, will you redeem it all? So right now, I'm just going to pray for us. If you feel like you want to make that prophetic act and bring something to the Father, if you want to pray with these people up here this morning, I'm going to open that up as well. But we're going to pray, and then we're just going to release. But Father, we just give you every situation that needs your restoration and your redemption. We give you permission to set us up in every area necessary for others to hear your powerful story of how you redeemed our whole lives for you. And I pray that you would bring restoration in every area that we need breakthrough, and that you would restore those around us and bring redemption to those closest to us. Start with salvation and then redeem and restore lives. I pray that you would break through in every relationship and every situation that we have not believed can change or to be restored. Father, we ask you to renew our perspective so we know how to pray with faith and courage, so we will see in our lifetime your plan of redemption in its fullness. Just repeat after me. I choose to believe in your restorative nature. You are my redeemer, and I believe that you redeem it all. Amen. All right, I think we're just going to kind of leave out of here this morning quietly so that we can open this up if anyone wants to come up and pray or bring your things that need to be redeemed and ask him to redeem them. We love you. We hope to see you again next week. Do you want to say anything? All right.
For more resources and information about Resurgent ATL, please visit our website.